Have you ever like sat down at your desk, fired up your laptop, and just felt this incredible surge of motivation?
Oh, to finally build that app idea you've had bouncing around your head for months.
Exactly. You are so ready. You open up a tutorial, you look at the screen, and boom, you are instantly hit with a wall of completely unreadable code syntax.
Just a sheer vertical cliff of brackets and semicolons.
Right, the nested callbacks,
Yeah.
the bizarre variable names, and in that exact second, your brain just goes, "Never mind. This is impossible. I'll stick to my day job."
It's the great universal roadblock of software development. You're describing that really steep, incredibly punishing first month.
It is brutal.
It really is. The industry basically demands you memorize this massive set of grammatical rules before you're allowed to build anything that actually works.
It crushes the motivation right out of you. I mean, you want to build a house, and the system tells you to go study the chemical composition of cement for 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. But here is the massive shift we are looking at today. Because in 2026, that barrier to entry hasn't just lowered, it has completely collapsed.
Cooling on.
Right. We are living through a phenomenon that is fundamentally changing how software is made, and it's called vibe coding.
Vibe coding,
I
yes.
was reading this fascinating breakdown from the Vibe Coding Masters community the other day, and it totally flipped my perspective on how beginners should approach this.
They lay out a really aggressive roadmap, don't they?
They do. It's aggressive, but completely doable. It's a guide for how absolute beginners can bypass that grueling first month by using AI tools to build 15 real-world projects.
It's a very practical approach.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because we are basically talking about a personal roadmap for you, the listener, to go from zero experience to deploying live working apps. And you do it all by speaking to your computer in plain English.
It really represents a total paradigm shift. I mean, to understand how you would even begin to approach a 15-project roadmap, we first have to understand how coding education itself has been completely reordered. Reordered how, exactly?
Well, the industry is moving away from this outdated idea that you must be a manual typist of syntax. We are moving toward this new reality where your primary job is to be a director of logic.
A director of logic.
Yeah.
I want to dig into that idea because the core concept of vibe coding is enthusiastically straightforward.
Yeah, you just describe what you want.
Right, you describe the outcome you want, the actual behavior of the app, in natural language,
Yeah.
and an AI coding assistant generates the underlying syntax to make it happen.
So you aren't wasting mental energy trying to remember where a semicolon goes in JavaScript?
Exactly, you are focusing on the flow of the application. But let me play devil's advocate for a second.
Sure, go for it.
When I first read about this, I immediately thought about how we learn spoken languages. Like, if you try to learn Spanish by only reading a translation dictionary, it's frustrating and totally contextless.
You learn by actually speaking the words.
Right. So isn't vibe coding just a heavily branded term for copying and pasting? If the AI writes it, aren't you just skipping the actual learning process entirely?
What's fascinating here is that vibe coding doesn't replace the learning process. It essentially flips it upside down.
Flips it. Okay, how so?
Well, in traditional programming education, you front-load the syntax, you memorize the dictionary first, hoping that eventually you'll be able to string a sentence together.
Right.
With vibe coding, you learn logic, system structure, and problem-solving first by building real things. You pick up the syntax naturally as a byproduct of watching the AI solve the problems you articulate.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Think about the process of building furniture. Traditional coding is like walking into a forest, chopping down a tree with an axe, and trying to carve a chair out of raw timber.
Okay, sounds exhausting.
It is. Vibe coding is more like assembling a piece of furniture from smart, clearly labeled parts while a master carpenter stands right beside you.
So you aren't just blindly gluing things together.
Exactly. You still need to understand what a strong joint looks like. You still have to organize the pieces, and you still have to put it together. But you arrive at the finished, functional piece far faster.
And you learn the mechanics of the chair by seeing how the parts interact. That is a great analogy. It's less like you're the lumberjack and more like you're a senior architect managing a very fast but maybe slightly literal-minded junior
Yeah,
developer.
very literal-minded. You can't just yell, build a house.
Right. You have to say, build a two-story house, lay this specific type of foundation, and put the plumbing on the west side.
You manage the logic, but the AI is physically laying the bricks.
And looking at the data, this isn't just some fringe internet trend anymore.
Not at all. To ground this shift in reality, we just need to look at the 2025 Stack Overflow Developer Survey.
What did it find?
It showed that 84% of developers were either using or planning to use AI in their daily work.
Wow, 84%.
Yeah, that was up from 76% in 2024. But perhaps even more critically for the beginners listening, the GitHub Octoverse 2025 report had a staggering statistic.
Oh, I know this one. It found that 80% of new developers on their platform are using an AI assistant within their very first week of coding.
80%. It's no longer a shortcut or a cheat code. It is the default starting point.
If you aren't doing this, you are actively choosing to chop down the tree with a butter knife while everyone else has a chainsaw.
That's one way to look at it, yeah.
Now, if 80% of beginners are using these tools, we need to talk about which chainsaws are actually safe and effective to use. If you are stepping into this role of director, the immediate question is who or what are you directing?
Precisely. We need to move from the philosophy of managing an AI to the practical reality of the toolkit, because a beginner doesn't need 50 different subscriptions.
Right. You just need a setup that makes sense for your specific workflow. The guide from Vibe Coding Masters breaks this down into different flavors, which I found incredibly helpful.
The first flavor being the conversational planners.
Yeah, exactly. This is your ChatGPT, your Claude, your Google Gemini. You use these for high-level architecture.
Like asking, how should I structure a database for a social network?
Or pasting in an error message to get a plain English explanation. Then, as you move closer to the code, you have the inline typists.
The biggest one there is GitHub Copilot.
Right. This lives inside your code editor and basically auto-completes your lines in real time. But where it gets really crazy, at least to me, are the AI native editors like Cursor and Windsurf.
Oh, those AI native editors are really where the vibe coding paradigm shines.
Completely. With an editor like Cursor, the AI understands the context of your entire project.
It reads all your files at once.
Yeah, you can highlight a whole section of an app and prompt it to add a dark mode toggle to this entire interface, and it just does it across multiple files instantly.
It's almost like magic the first time you see it.
It really is. And finally, if you don't even want to go through the hassle of downloading an editor, there are zero setup browser platforms.
Tools like Replit AI, Lovable, and Bolt.new.
You open a web browser, type a prompt, and it builds and hosts the app right there in the cloud. The source notes that developers are completing tasks 55% faster with these assistants.
That's saving roughly 3.6 hours every single week.
For a beginner, that represents hours of hair-pulling frustration just completely erased from the learning curve.
This raises an important question, though, because we can't just talk about the speed without talking about the accuracy.
Oh, for sure.
With all this immense power, we run into what the industry calls the trust paradox. The excitement is absolutely justified, and Google's DORA 2025 research backs this up.
By showing that about 90% of software teams use AI daily, right?
Exactly. But independent surveys from 2026 reveal a fascinating disconnect. Fewer than a third of professional developers fully trust AI output without manually checking it.
Wait, so 90% of teams use it every day, but less than 33% actually trust what it spits out?
That's the paradox.
That feels like a massive red flag for a beginner who doesn't know how to spot a mistake yet.
It is the biggest trap a beginner can fall into. You have to remember how large language models actually work under the hood. They are essentially highly advanced prediction engines.
They're just guessing the next word, basically.
Right. They guess the next most mathematically probable token based on their training data. Because of this, an AI can and will write code that looks syntactically flawless to a beginner, but contains deep, subtle logic errors.
Or massive security vulnerabilities.
Exactly. Treating the AI as an incredibly patient teacher is fantastic, but blindly trusting it is dangerous.
Yeah, the guide explicitly warns that for anything involving security, user logins, or handling financial payments, human review is non-negotiable.
You cannot just prompt an AI to build a secure login page, paste the result, and assume your user's passwords are safe.
You have to actually understand the mechanism of how that authentication works. So the AI is the junior developer, and you still have to review their work because they might accidentally leave the back door to the server wide open.
A very eager, very fast junior developer who occasionally hallucinates doors.
Right. Okay, so you have your tools picked out and you have this healthy dose of skepticism. You know you have to review the code. How does a complete beginner actually start building?
The Vibe Coding Guide makes one thing very clear. The era of passive video tutorials is dead.
Project-based learning is the only way forward. You have to ship small projects and you have to ship them often.
Getting stuck in tutorial hell is a very real phenomenon. You watch 10 hours of someone else coding on screen, you feel brilliant, and then you open a blank document on your own computer.
And realize you have absolutely no idea what to type first.
Exactly. The 15-project ladder outlined in this guide is specifically designed to prevent that paralysis. It forces you to earn your way up through escalating difficulty.
Let's look at this progression, because the structure of it is brilliant. It starts with a tier called the Easy Wins. This is your first couple of days.
You aren't building a massive platform right away.
Right. You start with a personal portfolio using just HTML and CSS. It's basically a static digital business card, but it gives you a live link to point to.
It gives you that quick dopamine hit of finishing something.
Next, you build a calculator using JavaScript. Then, a to-do list application. After that, a notes app, a password generator, and finally, a quiz app.
There is a highly deliberate conceptual progression happening in that list. It's not just a random assortment of neat ideas.
I see the progression, but here is my concern, and I know this is what ambitious listeners are thinking right now.
What's that?
If Cursor or Claude can write complex software in seconds, why on earth should I spend my Tuesday evening prompting it to build a basic calculator? Why wouldn't I just jump straight to building the next big social media app or a massive booking platform?
Because skipping the foundational concepts is a guaranteed recipe for failure.
Really? A guaranteed failure?
Yes. If you skip to the complex builds, you don't end up with the next social media empire. You end up with a hard drive full of abandoned, half-built applications that crash every time you click a button.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
When you build that seemingly boring calculator, you aren't just making a tool to do math. You are learning the fundamental concepts of state management.
Like how an app remembers what number you just typed.
Exactly. And how to handle interface events, like what happens when a button is clicked. Then, when you move on to the to-do list, you are learning a concept called CRUD. Create, read, update, delete.
CRUD. I've heard that acronym thrown around everywhere in software.
It is the bedrock of almost all data-driven software. Think about it. A user needs a consam. Create a task, read the list of tasks, update a task when it's done, and delete it when they don't need it anymore.
And if you don't deeply understand how a database handles CRUD operations on a simple text item,
then you have absolutely no business trying to manage complex user profiles on a social network. The guide stresses this heavily.
Finishing a live, working calculator is infinitely more valuable for your brain than having three incredibly ambitious projects that you abandoned because the database got too tangled.
Completion is a skill you have to practice.
I love that. Completion is a skill. So you earn your stripes with the easy wins. You get familiar with CRU and state. Then, as you move into weeks 1 and 2, the guide moves you up to the medium and hard tiers.
And this is where the training wheels come off.
The medium tier introduces a habit tracker and an expense tracker, which force you to manage user data over a timeline. But the real game changer here is the weather app.
Yes, the weather app, because it's your first introduction to APIs.
Application programming interfaces. Basically, this is the first time your app isn't just living in isolation on your computer.
Right, you are writing code that reaches out across the internet.
It talks to a giant weather database, asks for the temperature in Tokyo, and pulls that live data back into your screen.
The API integration is a major threshold. You are moving from building standalone toys to building nodes that interact with the broader digital ecosystem.
Exactly. From there, you build a URL shortener. And this is fascinating because it forces you to step away from the visual interface and touch back-end logic.
You start using an environment called Node.js.
Essentially, Node allows you to run JavaScript on a server instead of just in a web browser.
So with a URL shortener, you need a back-end engine and a database to instantly cross-reference a tiny link with a massive, messy web address all behind the scenes.
Then you round out the medium tier with a chatbot, integrating an actual AI API into your own software.
And all of these conceptual stepping stones, CRU, APIs, database routing, back-end logic, they perfectly set the stage for the hard tier.
These are the capstone projects where you prove you can orchestrate a full system, right?
Exactly. You tackle a blog website, which requires you to combine a dynamic front end with a robust back-end database.
You build a complex task manager to handle complicated relationships between different data types.
You create an AI resume builder, proving you can marry a clean user interface with advanced AI functionality.
And finally, the ultimate test, a simple e-commerce store.
The e-commerce store really is the final boss of this roadmap.
You have to handle product listings, you have to manage a temporary shopping cart, you have to create a secure checkout flow. It touches every single concept you've learned. Interface, state, data, and server logic, all working in harmony.
If you can build and deploy an e-commerce store, even a demo version, you simply aren't a beginner anymore.
So what does this all mean? We've walked through this roadmap. You've spent a month building these 15 projects. What is the actual reward for you, the listener?
Because let's be real, nobody's doing all of this just for the fun of having a local weather app.
Exactly. We have to transition from the technical mechanics to the real-world career implications. The most valuable thing you take away from this roadmap isn't necessarily a deep mastery of JavaScript syntax.
It's the acquisition of a new set of meta skills.
I love that term, meta skills, because in a vibe coding world, knowing how to type out HTML or Python isn't the superpower anymore.
The real skills you've gained are architectural.
You now know how to look at a massive, intimidating app idea and break it down into tiny, buildable prompts. You know how to read and debug code that you didn't physically write. You've learned how to use tools like Git.
And for those who don't know, Git is essentially a time machine for your code.
Yes. When you are using AI, you might generate hundreds of lines of code in 5 seconds. If that new code completely breaks your app, you need a version control system like Git to instantly roll your project back.
Back to the exact state it was in 20 minutes ago when it actually worked.
And most importantly, you've learned how to take code from your laptop and deploy it live to the internet.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, those specific meta skills, architectural thinking, AI orchestration, secure deployment, are exactly what the 2026 job market is aggressively hunting for.
We're looking at a massive macroeconomic shift.
The AI market is projected to hit $130 billion by 2032 in India alone.
In the U.S., the Bureau of Labor Statistics projects a 17% growth in software developer roles through 2033.
That represents hundreds of thousands of new positions, and companies are not looking for old-school syntax typists.
No, they're looking for developers who can use AI to multiply their output. The guide zeroes in on some incredibly specific data from the tech hub of Hyderabad to really illustrate this economic shift.
Hyderabad is a massive center for generative AI development right now.
Huge. And in that specific market, 11.7% of all job postings explicitly require AI skills. That is up from 8.2% just a year ago.
But the real story is in the gap, right?
Yeah, the talent pool of workers who actually possess these modern AI orchestration skills is only growing by about 15 to 20% a year. But the corporate demand for these skills is exploding by 40%.
And in any economic system, a massive gap between supply and demand is exactly where the financial opportunity lies for the individual.
The financial incentive is huge. If we look at fresher developer roles in that market, the baseline pay is sitting around 4 to 10 LPA that's lax per annum.
But if you get recruited into the global capability centers,
those massive offshore tech hubs built by multinational corporations,
right, the baseline there jumps to upwards of 8 LPA.
And having this specific AI-aligned skill set commands a 30 to 50% premium over a traditional generalist developer profile.
But here is the most important takeaway for anyone listening who might not have a traditional computer science degree.
What's that?
Recruiters in this modern market are actively valuing a portfolio of deployed projects over traditional certificates.
It comes back to the concept of proof. A certificate just proves that you sat through a course and passed a multiple choice test.
A live, deployed application proves execution.
If you walk into an interview and point to a functional e-commerce app that you vibe coded, it proves you know how to navigate the trust paradox.
It proves you know how to audit AI code, debug the inevitable errors, manage a database, and actually ship a product to the public.
That tangible proof carries immense leverage in salary negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
So to bring this all together for you in 2026, you never have to face a blank, terrifying screen alone.
The archaic barrier of memorizing syntax before you are allowed to build is entirely gone.
Vibe coding means you can start today. You can literally sit down this afternoon, open a browser tool like Bolt.new, use plain English to build your first CRE to-do list, deploy it, and let that momentum compound.
Project by project, you are building a highly lucrative, in-demand meta skill set. The guide leaves us with a sentiment that I think is deeply true, especially in technology.
What's that?
The best time to start was yesterday, but the second best time is right now.
The roadmap is laid out in front of you. The AI is waiting for your instructions. You just have to be willing to take that very first step and describe what you want to build.
Just tell it what to do.
Before we sign off, I want to leave you with a thought to mull over, something that pushes past the immediate roadmap we've discussed today in this deep dive.
Okay, what are you thinking?
If AI is fundamentally reordering how beginners learn to code by prioritizing plain English logic and project architecture over the manual typing of syntax, how is this shift eventually going to alter the actual programming languages themselves?
Oh, that's an interesting point.
Right, because if human beings are no longer the primary entities physically typing out JavaScript, Python, or C++, will those languages eventually evolve to be even more readable for us?
Or will they go in the complete opposite direction?
Exactly. Will these underlying languages become hyper-optimized, incredibly dense, unreadable machine codes meant strictly for AI-to-AI communication?
Leaving humans entirely functioning in the realm of natural language.
One day, that wall of confusing code syntax might not just be unreadable to a beginner, it might be fundamentally unreadable to humans entirely.
That is a deeply fascinating future to consider, and honestly, it might arrive much faster than we think.
Something to keep in the back of your mind while you're prompting your AI to build that very first calculator. Until next time, keep exploring and happy building.